Thank you. Please be seated. The theme for this morning's sermon and meditation is where there is no vision, people perish. How true it is. Those of us who are sighted, in other words, you see well, how blessed we are. You will never appreciate the blessing of sight, of vision, until you do not have it, or until it is impaired. Where there is no vision, what can we do? We can't even take a step because we do not know where we're going. So the wise man called Solomon wrote this little proverb. May I invite you to turn to Proverbs chapter 29. Proverbs 29, verse 18. Proverbs 29, verse 18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish. So it is. In the physical sense, in everyday life, treasure your vision, which I need not urge on any of you here. We all understand this. But in the spiritual realm, it is so important that we have a vision to see and to assess every situation we are in, to understand what is the way ahead for a Christian, to know what is right and what is wrong, and to do that which is only pleasing, only acceptable to our Lord and Savior, the one who gave us that vision. Praise the Lord for vision. This proverb by Solomon applies not only to the physical and visible world, but also, more importantly, to things not obvious. Let me give you three examples from history, recent history, that is within our own knowledge. December the 8th, 1941. Many of you were not born. Japanese bombs fell on Raffles Place, not very far away, sounding the death knell of the British Empire. Today, almost all of us seated here know almost nothing about British Empire except as an event in history. But I grew up under the authority of British rulers. The British generals at that time, 1941, had totally misread the situation. Amazing. You know, they were the most experienced fighters, having won all kinds of wars in Europe. But they misread the whole situation in the Far East. They knew nothing of the Japanese intention, power, and cunning. We have a proverb in Chinese says, short people very cunning, tall ones very long-winded. Well, there is some sense. But we always thought the Japanese are short. Oh, some are short, some are tall. But all are cunning. And they knew what they were doing. But the British did not. Where there is no vision, they perish. And you understand this. Do you know that just 30-odd thousand of Japanese in 10 weeks demolished 130,000 British and Indian and Canadian and not Canadian, Australian troops finished. It's a little band of yellow invaders. On bicycles, wow, read my book. It's all there. So where there is no vision, the British perished. Now, instance number two to illustrate where there is no vision, people perish. Now this time, the Japanese, their turn. August 6, 1945. Does it ring a bell? On that day, one bomb and 100,000 Japanese evaporated into nothing in a moment. Did the Japanese anticipate this? No. And this brought to an end the Japanese dream of a Southeast Asia co-prosperity sphere, a very high-sounding, euphemistic term to describe a new kind of colonialism under Japanese rule. And everybody got to learn Nihongo or Nippongo. One bomb demolished the whole idea. The Japs did not know American atomic and nuclear power. Too bad. So the Japanese perished in their turn. Now, instant number three, where there is no vision, people perish. September 1945. This time, the proud British return. Of course, to our great delight, because we were all waiting. Nihon, go. We want the Japanese to go and the British to come back. And they came back, September. But their perception and expectation was totally out of step with time. They expected to come back to be colonial masters, which was a non-event finish. Colonies is thing of the past. Colonialism doesn't work anymore, although it worked for hundreds of years before then. But a new nationalism had come into the people. Today we all understand what's nationalism. Every morning, every child in school sings Majula Singapura. It was not so in my day. We all sing God Save the King, God Save the Queen. So the British came back expecting to be the colonial masters. Too bad. It didn't happen. Without vision, they perished. God raised a ban. And with him came the PAP into power. And stirred the people to think. No longer to look to London, but to look inwards to ourselves. Self-sufficiency, independence. And that spirit of nationalism caught on. Stirred by one man who thought through the whole idea and who wrote and who led. And he said, if I think a thing is right, I do it, regardless of whether other people think so or not. I just press it through. And he was right. In one generation, transform our sinking sand of Singapore into a number one world city. You know that? Today, Singapore stands proud among the nations as an example of progress, of peace, of racial harmony. Wonderful. Vision. Now you understand what vision means. Without that vision, we would have sunk into nothing. Are you convinced? Look around our neighbors. How many of them have leaders like our MM? How many? Maybe a little bit like him. But many of them fall. Thank God for leaders with vision. Well, without vision, we perish. Now apply that to the spiritual realm, apply it to Calvary Pandan Bible Presbyterian Church. As in Isaiah's time, I want you to turn to Isaiah. I beg your pardon, it's a little lost here. All right, this is H again, I must blame it, but not really. Chapter 21 of Isaiah, verse 11, verse 12. The burden of Duma, he calleth to me out of Seir. Watchman, what of the night? Verse 12, the watchman said, the morning comes, also the night, ye will inquire. Inquire, return, come. This is the situation today, as in Isaiah's time. We are in a night of deepest peril. You may not know it. We all live in tranquility, prosperity, peace, so good. Do you understand we have entered into a very perilous time in the history of our church? Not because of us, but because of what is happening around us. And this is where the vision is important. Without that vision, you perish if you do not know what to do. So here we remember what we have all been studying for some time already. That famous passage of scripture that was written by the Apostle Paul. 2 Timothy, there I urge you to turn to now, please. He talks about perilous times. Perilous times. 2 Timothy, chapter 3. And we have preached at length on those same verses, which we want to read just to remind us what we're talking about. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And we need faithful watchmen as in the days of Isaiah. For the situation around us is as night. Not physical night, but darkness everywhere. And we want to know what is happening around the world, around us in Singapore society, where our children and ourselves are soaked 24 hours, out of which 10, 12 hours, your children do not see you once they leave home for 10, 12 hours sometimes. What is happening? 2 Timothy chapter 3. The first five verses tells us what is the problem and what we are concerned about in this church. For if the church, which is led by pastors and elders and others, if the leadership has got no vision, you perish, we perish together. For the peril is around us. Let me read to you. 2 Timothy chapter 3. This passage we have read so many times, preached so many times, but it bears a reading again. Verse 1, this know also in the last days, perilous times shall come. And I say, dear friends, beloved, perilous times have come. Already we are right into it. And that peril gets worse and darker and deeper by the day. There is no let up. in this darkness and peril until the light comes with our Lord's return. Do you know this? This is the urgent message we all must be reminded daily, morning, noon and night, because the peril is so real and so drastic and so terrible. What is going to happen in these perilous times? Verses 2 to 5 tells it all of it. Everything is there. You name it, we have it in Singapore. Verse 2 says, men shall be lovers of their own selves. That's true, absolutely. You talk to them about anything else, about their souls, about the Jesus, Lord. Makes no sense. All we are interested is the index, how the stocks and shares are doing. Those things. Those are important. This is the peril when men have that vision that values material things. Read on. Lovers of their own selves, covetous. Yes, more money the better. Boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. You say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about real things that happened in Singapore, Orchard Road, Hougang, Pasir Ris, Punggol, all over the place, and even in our own districts around here. Everywhere where there is humankind, all these activities are happening with increasing volume and fierceness. What do? Read on, please. Verse 3 says, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, very proud today because everybody has got so much more money. Amazing to buy a house for $36 million in Sentosa. It was in the papers. Where do they find that money from? And how dare they spend it just to live for a few more years and then say goodbye to their property? This is what is happening. Do you understand? Read on. Traitors, high-minded, heady, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away, and yet we cannot, because they surround us everywhere. These people who are described by these four verses, they surround us. They are everywhere. What do? I say, dear friends, you ask me, show us the evidence. I said, don't you see? Only read the Straits Times. Read the new paper. And turn on the television. And you see that everything that is mentioned in these four verses is there. It's enacted in front of your eyes. And people pretend not to know. Your Singapore is peace. I said, far from it. Where there is no vision, the people perish. If the leaders of this church say, peace, peace, all is peace, I say, they're misleading you. And one day you wake up too late. Oh, dear friends, this problem is happening in front of our eyes. And things happening far away also being reported. Ever heard of a 11-year-old boy raping a 10-year-old girl until she's pregnant? This is in the papers. And other things similar to this are happening around the world and in Singapore. Same-sex marriages. You say, oh, not here. I say, you know. You don't know. Same-sex churches, same-sex pastors. How about if it comes into your church? Are you surprised? Are you shocked? Into a baby church, possible? I say, anything today is possible. This is a peril. And if your pastors say nothing and never warn you, and think, peace, peace. When there is no peace, the responsibility is on the leaders. So I'm telling you this because it is true, it is happening, and what can we do? So I say, dear friends, wake up. This problem is global. It is at home. Even in your homes, you do not know. Your children will bring it in. You bring it in yourself. We can't read your heart. Neither can you yourself. You don't know. You have no vision. You think you're very good. And because other people do it, you also do it. And then it comes in. Oh, this is a peril today. What is the answer? I say, dear friends, wake up. Wake up to the peril of the moment, and unless we do something to meet that crisis and the peril, we will all suffer together. This routine every week, paying a courtesy call to God, feeling good because I've been to church, this kind of idea must be left behind. And let us search ourselves. Lord, what is the problem? How can we face it? Except we repent and turn to the Lord and ask the Lord to have mercy and to revive us, to change us, to open our eyes and behold the vision of these things happening in Singapore. It's no fun. It's no joke. It's happening. Yes. And the only way is to stop that routine, courtesy call, kind of service for church. Yes. Why should I read the Bible? Why have family worship? No time, I say. No time until the problem comes to your home. And it affects your son, your daughter. Then you say, why? Find time. Where to find time? I say, dear friends, this was printed a few years ago, 3-4 years ago. Family worship. He said, no time. Please think again. Unless we take positive action on a spiritual realm to meet the problem which is spiritual, it's not social alone. It is a spiritual problem. And whose responsibility it is it? I can offer and volunteer. I will come to homes and help you. How many homes can I help in this way? I'm willing. Can it be done? Obviously not. We have 1,000+ people. How many homes? Do you know how to pray? Do you know whether your children know how to pray? Whether you yourself are praying? 66 prayers. All these are printed specially for our own needs. Now today, I brought you this. I hope you all have one, at least one per family. Have you got it? Was it given out? No. Wow, amazing. Was it not given out? I specially printed. No. No. Nobody has it. Amazing. Oh, the ushers were told to give out. You all didn't get it. No, no, no. This one. All right. Pretend that you have it. This is Calvary News. And I had printed this about 2 years ago. Targeting today. This Calvary News was our first attempt to publicize our work of Calvary missions to the far west of Singapore in Jurong. And this is the paper that comes out. And it says here the date is September 1970. This paper is 1970. And it says, where there is no vision, the people perish. I'm so sorry. Next week we'll make sure it comes out. Stephen Lee, next week please. All right. And this shows you one thing. A picture of Jurong town. At that time, 25,000 people lived in Jurong before then. By that time, maybe 50,000 or more. by now maybe near 1 million in Western sector. Amazing growth. And with the growth, prosperity, never had it so good. In 1 year, they set up 700 factories. And Jurong revolutionized the whole outlook for Singapore. Prosperity, prosperity, prosperity. This is peril, peril, peril. Yeah. Grow more rich, people's hearts are more sucked into the world. And they think they're going to be here forever. You don't. Your 20, 30, 40, 50 years comes and goes in no time. So this is the problem. I hope you'll be patient enough and get this next Sunday. Oh, it is there now. How come? Oh, after service. Wow. I think there's a miscarriage of message. Where there is no vision, people perish. All right, we get it after service, please. One per family. Take home and read. To find out the thinking of our leaders in 1970. And how, because of that, we profited. Because when I walked into the Jurong Town Hall Corporation, Jurong Town Corporation, and talked to the chairman, he says, "What is it you want?" I said, "I want to start a church." "Oh, very good. We have factories but no church. And you can have this piece of land." 4 years later, I went to the same man and told him the same thing. "Oh, what are you here for again?" I said, "A second church." "Oh, you did the first one well, didn't you? I gave you 4 times the size of the first piece. You can have it." This is why we're sitting here today. Thank God that that period of great liberality allowed us to acquire this piece of land without paying a cent, you know, only rental, only lease. For had we to pay the real price and tender for it, you don't know, it may be $20 million just to buy the land. We have 49,000 square feet. Now all that is history. When you go, just get a copy of this, one per family, and read. Read how we rose to the occasion. Ask God for a vision. What must we do? Same prayer today, dear friends. Ask God for a vision. What must we do? The peril is everywhere. You don't want it to come into your house. They say, no television. Comes by the computer back door. Your child carries a computer. And the classmates will teach her how, or teach him how. And out comes inside the computer box all the evils, the whole complete encyclopedia of evil deeds inside there to teach you. Where is your answer? What is your answer? The answer is in the heart of your child and yourself to say, "I am the Lord's and I will not want to do those things that comes by the computer." So, where there is no vision, people perish. Let us pray for godly vision today. Let us all pray. Let us pray now. Our Father in heaven, we have no way but to look to Thee and to cry to Thee and to beg Thee, Lord, have mercy on Calvary Pandan, Bible Presbyterian Church members, that we who name the name of Christ will today resolve, Lord, take our lives and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. O Lord, may we resolve that we will live for Thee in the days remaining, in the days ahead of us, as we see the peril increasing everywhere, the world encroaching into our very lives. May we waken up by Thy Holy Spirit's help, that we will be alive to see the vision of things around us and to understand the spiritual impact of all this evil. O Lord, save Thy church. Have mercy upon us. Hear our prayer. Revive us. Forgive us. In Jesus' name, Amen. Now,